Hi guys, just a reminder that this podcast, as well as many of my online resources, is delivered freely. If you would like to help me get this message of healing out to millions of people around the world, please consider clicking on the donate button on my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. Thank you. Hello, how are you guys today? Welcome to the podcast. This is Nicole, and you have reached the Cure for Chronic Pain with me, Nicole Sachs. Welcome to my world, my brain, my thoughts, whatever happens. On these solo podcasts, I literally never know what's going to happen. But you know what? Sometimes I think that's the best way to do it. Just walk right into a situation with your best intentions, which is kind of goes along with our theme today. So let's just go with it. All right. Okay. Today I want to talk about some really important mindset exercises to get yourself peace of mind in the moment. I really, really think that this can be something that can be a game changer for every single one of us, regardless of what's going on in your life. So we're going to talk a lot about that and a lot about how I've been seeing this manifest in my own life and in the people around me. So we're going to talk about that. I don't have too much housekeeping today. I do want to tell you, I've gotten a lot of new community forming on Instagram. And so if you're new to this work, a really great way to really dive in, because I'm saying this in response to so many DMs I'm getting about, can you work with me directly? Although I don't take private clients, I am holding a virtual retreat for anyone around the world who can make the time zone. I'm in the Eastern time zone, New York time zone. So that's, you know, the only way I can do it is do my very best to accommodate people around the world, but I also have to be, you know, awake and alive and with my children not in my space. And so it is Eastern time zone, May 21st through the 23rd, Friday evening from 5:30 to 7, Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 5. But the reason that this virtual retreat is going to be so helpful, especially for new people, is when you sign up, it comes with my Freedom from Chronic Pain course and my 4 original meditations. So if you want to really immerse yourself in the work, this is an excellent way to do it. Plus, my Omega instructors, the ones that will be in person with me at Omega, will also be in this retreat, bringing somatic experiencing, bringing different mind-body techniques, and it's going to be really powerful. We also develop community at my retreats, so we break up into small groups. There's discussion. It's just really rich, and it's really deep, and I'm there for the entire thing every minute, right there with you. So, if you're new to this and if you think that you really want to dive into this work, that's a great way to do it. The only other thing I'm going to say this morning is that I am going to be teaching in person August 1st through the 6th at the Omega Institute, which is in upstate New York, in Rhinebeck, New York. It is going to be a space limited, I don't know, whatever, participant limited situation, because there will still be COVID protocols, but it's going to be really, really special to all be together at this incredible, look up the Omega Institute. I think it's eomega.org. You can Google it. But the phone number there is 845-266-4444. If you call there and you want to come to Nicole Sachs's Freedom from Chronic Pain retreat, you can get on the wait list now. You might even be able to actually register now via phone. I think their website's opening in a couple weeks. If you really want to come, please do that. Because the saddest thing is when I get all these emails after a deadline, people saying, oh, I really wanted to do that, and it's closed out. So if this is something that you're interested in, I just want to give everyone the opportunity. Okay. All right. That's all I need to say this morning. Just wanting to put that out there, for I do get so much correspondence of people saying, help me, help me, help me. And this is the way I can help you. And I know you want one-on-one. I know it. I understand. I have been there. I know you want, once again, because we all do, to sort of give your power away to another person, to be like, you show me, like be my one-on-one teacher. And I used to do that all the time, but it's just gotten too big for me. And believe it or not, even though this is a group event, it really is powerful. It will help you just as much, if not more, either of those events, the virtual or the in-person, to be surrounded by people doing this work, to be in a community, I'm telling you, this is really important. It was really important for me. So, okay, that's enough of that. Today, I want to discuss the concept of manifesting peace of mind in the moment. And so the first thing I want to say about this, because I think it's the first thing that needs to be said, is that our perception of a situation is our reality. So let's just do a couple examples. So right now, my oldest daughter, who is 18, is a freshman in college, University of Michigan, go blue. And she is really having a time of it because it's now 1 year into this devastating experience of losing every joy of the end of her senior year of high school, every joy of what she anticipated to be her freshman year of college. Not to mention, she is an art student. She's an art and design student. She's a very talented artist, but art requires being in the space of other artists, being in the room with a professor. She has done art classes online all year at a very challenging and prestigious university from a small windowless bedroom, first in a dorm, then she got kicked out of the dorms because everyone got kicked out of the dorms because of COVID, they closed them. And now she's in this apartment. And I'm just telling you, this kid, I feel so proud of her, but I also feel bad for her. She calls me just sobbing and crying. So last night, because the work is also really challenging and all the things and the mental health and the emotional health. So she called me last night just in just despair. And I said to her, honey, you are in a small box of a world. And I get it. You can't see out of it. You're in a college community that has so many rules and such negative energy from how much shutting down it had to be. You're in a mental space of feeling like you have to achieve something. There's no light coming in from the outside to give you perspective. She feels like her whole world is ending because she missed an assignment. And she's not even a perfectionist. She's in it, man. She's just deep in it. And so what I had to say to her last night, which I want to say to you guys because it's going to be the theme of this whole podcast, is you are bigger than this moment, no matter how this moment goes. And, you know, what I had to say to her is, listen, I understand that you are so in it and you feel like, and she only has 4 weeks left of the semester, and you feel like if you don't get these assignments done and you're going to fail and life is going to be over, and she's really on the brink. I mean, this is not like, oh, I'm bummed out. This is like sobbing and can't stop crying for like hours. And I said, you have to understand your perception is your reality. And right now your perception is that life is over if this can't happen because you've been through so much and your nervous system is just shot. And so I think I gave her some perspective. It took a long time, but you know, that's what parenting is, right? We show up. But what I was explaining to her is you have to pause and you have to realize you're bigger than this moment. And no matter how this moment goes, it's not the end of you. Even if you fail, even if you don't get the credits for the class, it's okay. You have to just be gentle with yourself, because if your perception is that every single thing is in this windowless box around you, of course you're paralyzed. You're not even going to be able to do the thing that you need to do to get yourself where you want to go. So we were talking about this, and that's just one example of the way it's manifesting in my life, how I'm watching this go on. And then I have an opposite story, an inspiring story. And we'll get back to Isabella, but an inspiring story that a colleague of mine told me yesterday that I want to share with you guys about what happened to him this week when he was traveling from Asia back to the States, specifically to Florida to see his parents. And he had 22 hours of travel, 3 different stops to get there. And at each, and he said it was just the travel day from hell. Everything was going wrong. There were hordes and hordes of people at every stop. And he's been fully vaccinated, so I guess he didn't have to worry so much about the COVID thing. But just uncomfortable and tense. And he said he finally got to the States and he had a layover only for an hour, and then he had his final flight down to his destination to see his parents, who he hasn't seen in over a year, in Florida. And so he comes through customs, and he said he just walked into the room and his heart sank. Just tons of people. The lines were so long, and he only had an hour until his flight. And immediately, of course, everybody's in the same negative space. And so they're all getting very frustrated. Everyone's getting angry at each other. Everybody's on edge. Everyone's panicked. You know, I have a flight. I have a connection. But of course, everybody has a connection. And so nobody was special there. And he said that he saw immediately this was a situation that if he decided to go into that perception of dread and panic and anger, that it was going to take him out, that he wasn't going to be able to stay calm in any way, shape, or form. And of course, that was not going to help him because he was stuck where he was stuck. Just like Isabella's stuck where she's stuck, just like I'm stuck where I'm stuck, and you're stuck where you're stuck, wherever we are at whatever moment, we don't always have a choice. And so he said he put in his AirPods and he put on his music because people were starting to say, I'm never going to make my flight to Orlando. You know, he was already hearing other people voicing his absolutely specific concerns. And he was like, I don't want to start getting involved. So he put in his music and he just kept saying the same thing to himself, which is, how can this get better than it is right now? How can this be the best case scenario? I wonder. And I often tell people, just replace your fear with curiosity. You don't have to be sure. You don't have to put your thoughts on the bright side. You know, this whole concept that's been batted around about toxic positivity lately, I agree. I've been writing about toxic positivity without calling it that since I published my first edition of my book in 2012. We cannot say, come on, man up, turn the page, look on the bright side. You know, there's nothing to cry about. We can't say that because the nervous system and the brain stores that somewhere. That emotion, that's a real emotion of frustration, cannot be ignored, but it can be shifted. And if we replace our fear with curiosity, it can save our ass every single time. So he, let's call him Jim, was in this long line. And he had his music on, so he didn't have to hear all that negativity from other people. And he thought to himself, how can this transform? How can this be the best it can be? I don't know. I wonder. And he opened himself up to that spaciousness that we're all looking for. You know, my daughter is trapped in a windowless box. You know, Jim could have been trapped in the panicked, you know, urgent, exhausted box of his fear. But no, he replaced his fear with curiosity. He said, and as the line moved on, then he had to, you know how it is, if you've ever traveled internationally, you have to get your luggage, you have to go through customs when you reach a new country, and then you have to check it again. And then you have to go through security again. So it's a real pain in the ass. And so he's going through this, he's watching his clock tick. He knows that his flight is coming up. And he is now in the line for security, and now people are really inflamed. A lot of the bags are getting checked. His bag got checked because he had a little vial of cologne that I guess looked whatever, and they had to take it from him, and it was expensive. So, I mean, there was so much that went on, and he just kept saying, how can this be the best scenario it can be? Just, and I know this sounds a little corny, but I'm telling you, when I heard him, I wish he was here to tell the story, because it's more powerful coming from the person it happened to, but he really got himself in that place of peace of mind in the moment right now is going to help me. It's going to transform the situation because the only thing I can control is my own behavior. So as he continued to replace his fear and anger and despair with curiosity, he went through, he was polite. See, this is another thing, guys. We affect each other. There's a lot of people that are total jerks at the airport. And you know, those people working at the airport, they must have to sustain a lot. Everyone in the world has to sustain a lot, especially these days where we have an entire global community on edge. And he said he was able to be kind when the woman was taking his cologne, his expensive cologne that he had forgotten to put in a plastic bag or whatever and throwing it away. He said, oh, I understand. You know, because he was able to put himself in that place. We can manifest peace of mind in the moment through knowing we have control over our own behaviors and of replacing fear with curiosity. And you know what happened? And you know what? Maybe this is just a little bit of magic, or maybe he was telling me this so I could tell you. He got to his gate and his flight was 1 hour delayed. And he was able to walk onto that plane about 10 minutes later. And now he's with his parents. He got to hug his parents for the first time in over a year. This is what happens when we open up our awareness just a little bit bigger. Now, it might not have gone that way. He might have missed his flight. And maybe upon missing his flight, he would have been able to practice radical acceptance. You know, transformation begins with the radical acceptance of what is. That is a quote from Danielle Laporte in a book called White Hot Truth. I quote it a lot because people don't understand that when you're looking to transform a situation, transformation isn't helped along by radical acceptance. Transformation begins with the radical acceptance of what is. If he had spent all his time super agitated, bitching and moaning in his own mind, maybe getting into arguments with people around him, there's no way for the situation to transform. His attitude would have been crappy. He might have been super, super rude to people along the way, affecting their job, maybe making them act out toward other people or bring it home to their families at night. You know, we're all in a global community. We're all trying to bring our best forward so we can support the overall greatest good. And you know what? Not all of us act that way, but I'm telling you, all of us can, and it feels better for you. It's a selfish act to do this. It might be selfless because you end up affecting other people positively, but that's the way it went for him. And so last night when I was finishing up my conversation with Isabella, trying to be really, really supportive, I just said, honey, listen, stand up. She's crying. She's okay. I said, raise your hands above your head. Reach, stretch. I said, you're bigger than this moment. I said, can you go outside? Can you go take a walk? And she was willing. And you know, I haven't talked to her yet this morning, but all I'm saying is I wonder what could be next. I wonder the best way this could go. Curiosity is the only thing that will save you from your own panicked brain. Your panicked brain is so sure that things are going badly that it will continue to perseverate and roll and just overthink and over remember and go through conversations and project conversations because it's just looking for certainty. The human animal is constantly looking to control the narrative because we are such big thinkers. You know, we have our primitive brain that controls fight or flight, our sympathetic and our parasympathetic nervous systems, you know, the amygdala. I'm sure you've heard about a lot of this brain science from me and from other sources. But we also have a really advanced thinking brain, and that thinking brain can create a million scenarios that were not okay. And when we create those scenarios, it triggers our fight or flight, which is our more primitive functioning that goes into survival mode. And survival mode shuts down the parts of your body that you want to work well. You know, that's why people have so many stomach issues when they are in long-term chronic stress, because digestion's one of the first things that gets shut down, because the last thing you need to do when you're running from a saber-toothed tiger is need to go to the bathroom or need to eat. And so, you know, I know I talk about this all the time. There's so much to be said about the brain science, but just know, if you're looking to cultivate personal peace, if you're looking to cultivate anything in your life, so let's talk about what you might want: better relationships, more ambition or more confidence in your work, a way out of whatever chronic emotional, anxious, physical condition that you're dealing with. More tolerance for good parenting and more presence with your family. Energy. God, I can't tell you how many people are like, I have no energy. I'm exhausted all the time. I'm fatigued all the time. All the things we're looking to manifest. Think about how much energy it takes to be in a panic about controlling your life. You know, the first law of thermodynamics says energy can neither be created nor destroyed. It only can be transferred from one form to another. Now, I'm not a physicist, nor do I know that much about thermodynamics, but I've always used that law as a metaphor for our human life. And one of the ways that I have talked about it in the past is picture that you are in the water and you had a beach ball. And a beach ball, you had to your task was to shove it down, because we're always needing to shove it down, and it's hard because it wants to rise. Your task is to shove it down, all those emotions, all this thinking, and hold it under the water between your knees. And let's pretend that your brain and your nervous system feel that if that beach ball were to break the surface, you would die. Okay, the stakes are high. So here you are, and you guys have known, if anyone's ever tried to hold a beach ball underwater, it is no small task. You've got it in between your knees, and you're constantly making micro adjustments in order to like tighten your knees or move your body or bend them in a certain way to keep it under there. And now you've got it. You have perfected this posture that you can keep your body in to keep that beach ball under the water. And then your arms are available to you. They're above the water. And your arms can do whatever it needs to do in your life, right? All your work, all your family, all your friends, all your dealing with whatever trauma you've had to deal with, dealing with whatever emotional issues. That's all you got. You can't move very much, and you can't be too relaxed, because if you are not mindful of this posture you have with this beach ball under there, it could come up, and if it comes up, you're going to die. Imagine the energy suck of this kind of life. You have so little energy for what you want to do. And this, by the way, I know this is sort of like an out there example. I've been studying this work for over 20 years. This is what's happening to people who are holding down the lion's share of their emotional world and their stored trauma and not doing this kind of emotional mind-body work. This is what – I lived like this forever. For a long time, I lived like this, all through my 20s and my teens. So it's a long time to hold that amount of energy, to have to expend that amount of energy keeping something down. Now imagine that. What would happen if you allowed that beach ball to rise? What would actually happen? Okay, let's go there. If you were in a pool and a beach ball that was under the water came up. Okay, so I'm going to do it because you can't answer me because we're not in the room together. It would pop up. It would break the surface. If you weren't expecting it, maybe you would be like, oh, get a little spook from it coming up. And then it would just gently float over, maybe hang out in the corner of the pool for the rest of eternity. What we need to teach our brains and our nervous systems through our perception, through our ability to choose curiosity over fear, and through our journal speak work and other inner questioning, inner curiosity, inner excavation of our emotional worlds, what we're doing is we're teaching our brain and our nervous system that when that beach ball breaks the surface, it's not going to kill us. In fact, it will free us, because now your legs, your arms, your body are able to do whatever it is they need to do. And everyone is included here. I never want to be ableist. I never want to make anyone feel like someone with disabilities couldn't understand this example, because this is our spiritual body. And in our spiritual body, we are all able to do absolutely everything that we need to do. And in this example of your spiritual body, when you no longer have to hold that beach ball under the water, when you're able to know that it's not going to kill you to let it come up, and a lot of that has to do with manifesting peace in the moment through our ability to press the pause button and to replace our fear with curiosity and all the stuff we're talking about today, in addition to doing the deeper work, you're free. You're free. All the energy you've spent unconsciously, by the way, because all of your repressed emotional world is being held down unconsciously. That's why a lot of people say to me, what do you mean that like anger is one of the big ones that causes all this pain, back pain and pelvic pain and burning mouth and stomach problems? What do you mean rage is? I'm not an angry person. In fact, I'm going to tell you something. I never feel angry. And I'm always like, well, you do feel angry. You just don't, quote unquote, feel angry. Your anger is located in your unconscious, and it's being expressed through your burning mouth, your stomach, and your back pain. So it's not that you are consciously aware that this beach ball is under it, under there, that beach ball's been under there for so long that you don't even know you're doing it anymore. It's become such a habit. It's become such an unconscious way of being in the world that you are operating as if it's normal with 10% of the 100% of energy that you might have in the course of a day available to you. And the rest of it, the 90%, is being used unconsciously to hold this thing down. It's just, it's not tenable for a life of peace and joy and freedom and presence in the moment. It's not tenable. It can't last like that. And so it's so important for us to manifest peace of mind in the moment. So let's go over how we do that. The first thing we always do is pause. You're probably so sick of hearing me talk about pause, but in the pause is where everything exists. Your choices exist in your pause, and choices mean you are free. So we press our pause button. We wear our 80s tape recorder on a holster around our waist, and anytime we feel out of control, like Jim was at the airport, or you are with your job, or your kid, or your loneliness, or your pain, or your anxiety, or wherever this finds you, you put your fingers down there, you reach around, you feel the pause button, you press it, and you let it stay down. And you say, wait a second, I'm bigger than this moment. I'm bigger than this moment, even in the middle of it. Sometimes I have to do this for myself when my children are big feelers. Okay, let's just say that. And when they are really crying or really freaking out and wanting me to be the receptacle of that, I have to press my pause right in the middle. They don't even know, and say, Nicole, you're bigger than this moment. This isn't going to take you out. You just want to be here for them. You just want to be a good mom. Be here. Pause. Get some perspective. So we press the pause button. You say, I'm bigger than this moment. Okay. Then the next question, which is the question Jim was saying to himself, which is, how can this be better than it is right now? How can this be the best case scenario? And the best case scenario is not always great, but it's way better than you being stuck in your own head with panic and freak out. So in that question, how can this be the best it can be, in your pause, you replace your fear with curiosity, because that question is a question that doesn't have an answer. It'll be a different answer for each one of us each time, but it doesn't have an obvious answer. And so how can this be the best it can be requires curiosity, because I don't know. I wonder how it could be the best it can be. For Jim, I would say arguably the best it could be is that he was able to wait on all those lines with calmness and peace in his heart, not having to have it beat out of his chest, being able to be kind and generous to his fellow man around him, having to be polite to the overworked TSA employee that was trying to help him. And then his flight was delayed an hour, so he still got on it. I would say that's the best that could have gone, unless he's going to get scooped up by, you know, supernatural forces and dumped in Florida. It's pretty much the best it could have gone. And so his curiosity is what opened his spaciousness and what made a lot of that happen. The flight delay, you know, depending on your spiritual, you know, leanings, perhaps you would say that that had, anyone might have a different opinion on that. But the whole point is, how can this be the best it can be for me and for others? Press the pause, get curious about that. And then within your curiosity, know that however this goes, it's okay for you. Not because you have to agree with it. Acceptance does not mean agreement. Acceptance merely means that you're not fighting everything and everyone. You have to realize that when we're manifesting peace of mind in the moment, one of the things you need to know, because we're going to talk a little bit about this in the realm of acceptance, is you have to know when to act and when to accept. There, of course, are times where we have to act. And I don't want you to think that just because I'm always preaching acceptance, that acceptance means you don't do anything differently. Had Jim been in a scenario where it would have been appropriate to raise his hand and to walk over to someone who was a helper and to say, hey, listen, I don't know if there's a separate line for people who have close connections, but I need to be out of here in, you know, a half hour. Is it possible? That would be an action. That wouldn't go against acceptance. I really want to say this because I feel like sometimes people who, especially people susceptible to the kind of mind-body illnesses that come across my desk, people susceptible to this often are very people-pleasy kind of people and don't feel like they should have a voice in certain situations. I don't want that to become a rule for you. Sometimes you have to have a voice. Sometimes you have to say, if you look around and it's obvious to you that there's an action to be taken that isn't just, you know, kind of fighting in the face of the situation, there's an action to be taken, take it. That's fine. But also there's a time to know that the actions that you have taken have run out, or perhaps it's obvious there are no actionable things to do. And that's when we accept. That's when we press the pause and we accept and we say, how can this be the best it can be? You know, this is just a little helper. This is not going to, you know, make miracles happen. But I mean, I guess it's how you define miracles, because there are little miracles all the time. And our perception is our reality, and our mindset on how we approach things can make all the difference. It can change a whole scenario. You never know. So I hope this was helpful for you today. It was inspiring when I spoke to Jim. I didn't know what I was going to talk about this week. And then I had Isabella and I have all my own personal stuff going on. And I thought, you know, there's nothing more important than our presence and our peace in the moment, because the moment is literally all we have. And so I wanted to bring that message to you, because no matter where this finds you, no matter who you are, this can help you. And this can bring you to a greater level of peace and presence in your life. All right. Well, if you're enjoying this podcast, it would be a great favor to me if you would go over to iTunes and rate and review it. People all over the world are suffering. Right now, COVID long haul is a huge thing. And a lot of people are writing me, hundreds of people I've gotten emails that had COVID long haul symptoms, brain fog, fatigue, chest pain, anxiety, headaches, different pains around their body that are completely resolved because they found my work. And so we just need to rate and review the podcast as much as possible in order to get it moved up in the iTunes charts, which really does help people find the podcast. People tell me all the time. So it's just a little thing you can do that's really helpful to me if it's something that you appreciate. No pressure, because if you don't like it, you don't have to do it. Just wanted to put that out there because it really does help other people. All right, guys, I send you big love. And until next time, this has been Nicole Sachs with the podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain. I'll see you then. Bye-bye.